Wednesday, July 30th. Commemoration of Saints Abdon and Senan, Martyrs. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. Brethren, in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. Haydock Commentary. The apostles maintained the character and fulfilled the duties of the ministers of Christ equally in prosperity and adversity. They continued to speak the truth, though regarded by the Jews as seducers. Exposed to all kinds of dangers, they relied on God who preserved them, though in the midst of dangers and of death itself. Though they possessed nothing in this world, yet God never permitted them to remain in want. His providence procured for them all things necessary. Though they had nothing in their possession, yet they procured relief for others, by the alms of which they were made the disposers, though this latter part is generally understood of the spiritual riches which they bestowed upon their hearers. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Haydock Commentary. Opening his mouth, he began to teach. This is a common expression in Scripture to signify something important is about to be spoken. St. John Chrysostom says, And why is opening his mouth added? Without doubt that we might know that not only when he spoke, but even when silent he gave instruction. Sometimes, therefore, he opened his mouth. At other times he spoke by his very actions. The poor in spirit signifies the humble of mind and heart. Yet some understand it of such as are truly in poverty and want, and who bear their indigent condition with patience and resignation. It is not without reason that the Beatitudes are disposed of in this order. Each preceding one prepares the way for what immediately follows, furnishing us in particular with spiritual arms of such graces as are necessary for obtaining the virtue of the subsequent Beatitude. Thus the poor in spirit, that is, the truly humble, will mourn for their transgressions, and whoever is filled with sorrow for his own sins cannot but be just and behave to others with meekness and clemency. When possessed of these virtues, he then becomes pure and clean of heart. Peace of conscience reigns in this assemblage of virtues and cannot be expelled from the soul by any tribulations, persecutions, or injustices of men. So says St. John Chrysostom. What is this poverty of spirit but humility and contrition? This virtue of humility is placed in the first place because it is the parent of every other virtue, as pride is the mother of every other vice. Pride deprived our first parents of their original innocence, and nothing but humility can restore us to our former purity. We may pray and fast, we may be possessed of mercy, chastity, or any other virtues. If humility does not accompany them, they will be like the virtue of the Pharisee, without foundation, without fruit. "They shall possess the land" is the reward annexed by our Savior to meekness, that he might not differ in any point from the old law, so well known to the persons he was addressing. David in Psalm 36 had made the same promise to the meek. If temporal blessings are promised to some of the virtues in the Beatitudes, it is that temporal blessings might always accompany the more solid rewards of grace. But spiritual rewards are always the principal, always ranked in the first place. All who practice these virtues are pronounced blessed. It is not those that mourn for worldly motives, but those who mourn for their sins who are blessed. "The sorrow that is according to God," says St. Paul, "worketh penance steadfast unto salvation, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." 2 Corinthians 7:10. The same is promised in John 16:20. "You shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Hungering and thirsting after justice is meant spiritually, with an earnest desire of being just and holy. But others understand, such as endure with patience the hardships of actual hunger and thirst. Others understand those to whom justice is denied, such as poor widows and orphans, or those who from poverty really suffer hunger and thirst because justice is not done them. They shall be filled with every kind of good in their heavenly country. Blessed are the merciful. Not only the giving of alms, but the practice of all works of mercy, both corporal and spiritual, are recommended here, and the reward will be given on that day when God will repay everyone according to his works, and will do by us as we have done by our brethren. The clean of heart are either those who give themselves to the practice of every virtue and are conscious to themselves of no evil, or those who are adorned with the virtue of chastity. For nothing is so necessary as this purity in such as desire to see God. "Keep peace with all and chastity," says St. Paul, "for without this none can see God." Many are merciful to the poor and just in their dealings, but abstain not from luxury and lust. Therefore our Savior, wishing to show that mercy was not sufficient, adds that if we would see God, we must also be possessed of the virtue of purity. By this we shall have our heart exempt from all disordinate love of creatures and shall be exclusively attached to God. To be peaceful ourselves and with others, and to bring such as are at variance together, will entitle us to be children of God. Thus we shall be raised to a participation in the honor of the only begotten Son of God, who descended from heaven to bring peace to man, and to reconcile him with his offended Creator. Heretics and malefactors suffer occasionally, but they are not on this account blessed, because they suffer not for justice. For, says St. Augustine, they cannot suffer for justice who have divided the Church. And where sound faith or charity is wanting, there cannot be justice. By justice we understand here virtue, piety, and the defense of our neighbor. To all who suffer on this account, he promises a seat in his heavenly kingdom. We must not think that suffering persecution only will suffice to entitle us to the greatest promises. The persecutions we suffer must be inflicted on us on his account, and the evils spoken of us must be false and contradicted by our lives. If these are not the causes of our sufferings, so far from being happy, we shall be truly miserable, because then our irregular lives would be the occasion of the persecution we suffer.